Hi, dear friends, blessed day. Today I want to invite you listen to the part two of Chit Chat, ex-transgender pastor. Most of you knows him, Reverend Edmond Smith. And today we have a part two from this Chit Chat with Austin from US. And then I want to invite you and listen. But I want to say something. If many of you missed the part one, you can go back to Spotify, Wind Angel Academy Radio, and choose Chit Chat Ex-Transgender Pastor with Austin part one. And another thing, next week we have part three. Yes. Let's go and listen to the podcast.
Just preached a sermon last Sunday entitled Journey of Sanctification. The sanctification is, it's a lifelong process until we see Jesus face to face. Yeah, let's talk about family. I mean, do you have family, like parents, siblings, and what's your relationship like with them? Are they supportive? Are they distant? I know you mentioned your mom passed away when you were very young. What about dad and the rest?
You know, my dad and I have always been very distant. He was a single dad. You know, I was always very close to my two grandmothers. They have both since passed. My brother and I have a pretty good relationship. He's got two beautiful kids and a beautiful wife. I'm very much blessed to have them in my life. But other than that, you know, I have some aunts and some cousins that I really love. But we're all just separated by the huge distance of this country. I had kind of bought into the lie of chosen family. I'm sure you've heard that phrase, but your real family hates you. We're your new family. We're your chosen family, you know? And I believed in that. And I just realized, you know, as soon as you stop affirming and as soon as you stop parroting the party line of what's acceptable in those groups, you're out, you know, it's apostate level goodbye. And, you know, that's been sad because a lot of these folks I really did love and I still do. I have tremendous love in my heart for them, but I know that God puts people in your life for a season, and the folks that were in my prodigal, not all of them are coming through to the next phase. And, that's been a hard one. I actually just have been really struggling with one of my friends who I just saw recently, and I just kind of have been like in mourning of that. And it's you know, life is just an ebb and flow of learning and heartbreak. And, you know, like I always will love and try to share my thoughts and my experiences, but I've been told that I'm angry and hateful and all these other things just because I'm just saying like, no, I don't think it's God's plan for you to be a prostitute. Like, I don't think that's actually affirming you. I think, you know, you think you're being affirmed by having these men as I did, but what you're really being is consumed. You know, you are being completely consumed by the flesh, by the enemy, and by the weak desires of, you know, weak porn addicted men, you know? And so you're not living for the life, you know, you're not living for the Lord, you're living for yourself. And that is a hard thing to hear. When people told me that, I was like, well, who the heck do you think you are telling me that? But, you know, you learn with age that, like, you know, the things of your youth, you know, and when you're stunting around showing all your body, and, you know, and I look at pictures of myself and, you know, I think, oh, wow, I was very beautiful. And this is like, not to be egotistical, but I could see myself wearing very scandalous clothing to attract the eye because I thought I was going to get affirmation. You know, I thought I was going to get love, you know, and all I did was I was just consumed. And I hate to see young people get swept up into that.
So Austin, you know, if you notice, I call myself ex-transgender and you call yourself detransitioner, you know, and a lot of people are using the word detransitioner and they are claiming that they made a mistake, you know. So how would you clarify that? Is that a fact? So for me, when I call myself an ex-transgender, I was a real transgender with gender dysphoria and everything. And because I've gone through something that we call the journey of recovery. I've overcome my gender dysphoria and I've come out of being a transgender. So is there a difference between someone like me who calls herself ex-transgender and someone who calls himself detransitioner? And what the world is saying is that if you're a detransitioner, it means you were never trans. Something you made a mistake, you jump into it, and then you realize your mistake, and now you are detransitioning. How would you explain that, or what's your point of view?
Interesting. Okay, so can I just ask you, as an ex-transgender, do you think there? Oh man, I lost my train of thought there. That's such an interesting concept. Like, do you think that detransitioning or detransitioner and ex-transgender are different or the same?
I think it's the same thing.
The same thing too.
I think it's the same thing. But when you declare to the world today, I'm a detransitioner, they are saying that, oh, you made a mistake, that's why you detransitioned. But I knew that I was really trans. I did not think that I was trans. I was trans. Ella, as a transgender, my name was Ella. Okay, my female name. So it's a date name now, you know. So right, I was really trans. So what
I believe
about
I was too. I believe I was really trans. Yes, I for 20 years I believed it. But even in that 20 years, there were times where I was like, "Is this right?" You know, what would have happened, because I transitioned at 19? What would have happened if I had allowed Austin, as I was born, to just go through the natural process of maturing? I mean, at 19, I wasn't even fully through puberty. You know, like, it's, we know that the body doesn't really stop developing until the mid to late 20s now. Mm-hmm. And I very much still had I think I still do have a childlike naivety, that was easily like manipulated by these ideas of being like in the wrong body. It checked off a lot of boxes. It answered a lot of questions that I had. I call myself a detransitioner because in America, that's really the big term. Detransitioner, it seems to be more accepted and acceptable than ex-transgender, because that implies here, you know, here in America, transgender people are still a very protected class. The idea, you can't even speak out against transgenderism in any platform without serious retribution. So if I were to start calling myself ex-transgender, I feel like I would get even more flack. But I do identify as, you know, I do believe that that is what the enemy used to trick me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I'm getting ready to legally change my name back. So I have this big binder of all my paperwork going back to 2000 of, you know, all my doctor's stuff, and it's big, and I'm really glad I saved all that stuff. But I was looking at an x-ray of my skull from before I got facial feminization surgery, and I just had this vision of, like, you know, two demons looking at my skull in an MRI machine, thinking, this is how we're gonna get him. This is how we're gonna get it. We're gonna take the vanity, we're gonna take the insecurity, and we're gonna twist that, and we're gonna tweak it to 11. And we're going to take this all the way, you know? And I think back when I was in my late 20s, when I detransitioned the first time, I think to myself, I almost got out. I almost got out with my whole body intact, other than my face. And I had breast augmentation, but I still had my genitalia. And I still had my ability to reproduce. But I detransitioned secularly. I didn't have a rock to stand on other than my own self. I didn't have a higher power. I was still into witchcraft and, like, you know, tarot cards and stuff. I didn't have really any, detransition was like never even spoken about then. I didn't know another detransitioner. I, you know, in 2010, who was talking about detransition? No one. Even the doctor who took my breast implants out, and did a, you know, some skin reworking, had never ever treated a detransitioner, had heard of it as sort of like a unicorn. And they had done thousands and thousands of, you know, female to male top surgeries and breast augmentations on male to females, but they had never treated a detransitioner. So to see this huge, you know, influx of young people that started out very young with puberty blockers and medications, you know, still in school, to see them coming up and saying like, no, I was spiraling out of control and I latched onto this idea. And I think I really relate to that. You know, I was spiraling out of control. I had no rock to stand on. Mm-hmm. I felt my homosexuality and the homosexual acts that I had committed before I transitioned had canceled me out from the Lord, that the Lord was just like done with me, because mm-hmm. Pentecostalism at the time, I mean, I think it's become a little bit more like redemptive, but at the time was like, you're gay, you're going to hell, end of story, you know, done.
Really sad. Yeah.
Very sad, but I think it's come around. I think it's realized that, you know, that's why half the seats are empty. It's like, God, yes, the devil does create all these things. Yes, you know, addiction becomes a thing, but God always gives you that redemptive pathway. So instead of coddling people like we see some of the new mega churches do, where they put rainbow flags on everything. I mean, many of the churches here in Tucson, Arizona have mega, massive rainbow flags on them. And that to me says you can stay in your sin, you can stay in your identity and come and be have a place here, which tells me that, hey, the preaching is, it's not biblically sound. Not that I have anything with gay people. If you are in love and that's your life and you're happy, God bless you, have fun. That's not God's plan for me. And I, you know, if that means I spend the rest of my life celibate, I'm 100% okay with that. You know, surely I may slip up, I'm a human. But I don't think that, you know, in the gay relationships I had with men, it was always very fetish driven. It was very, very, you know, multiple partners. It was never just like two people cuddling and in love. It was always something else, something darker. And the further I went into it, the darker it got. And it's just really sad because I see young people, you know, I used to work at an LGBTQ youth drop-in center that was ages 13 to 23. And there would be kids in there and then they're 15 years old talking about their fetishes, you know, talking about being a furry, talking about, you know, adult daughter or adult daddy, little girl fantasies, you know, age play, stuff like this. And I'm like, this is not like love and peace and, you know, love is love and love is beautiful. This is depraved. But you can't really tell people that, or else you're a bigot. And I for the longest time I was afraid of being called that because I was like, oh, then I'll lose everything. I'll lose all my social capital. But once I lost all my social capital, it was the greatest gift God ever gave me. Because what can they take now? They can call me all kinds of names. They call us crazy. They call us deluded. But you know what? Who cares? Because we're free. You know, and you can really finally, when in that freedom, you can speak the truth and you can share God's love and how he changed you, you know, and that's where I find like some of the people that I've met through TikTok who are also formerly gay, formerly trans or non-binary, but now have a firm identity in Christ. You know, we have like some group threads where we talk about this stuff and there is struggle, of course, but when you reach out and you see that other people are trying to live this way too, there's accountability, there's nurture, there's a like a brotherhood of love, you know? And it's really important that people like you, you know, use your platform. I think it's amazing that you're a preacher. Like, I feel like that's what God's calling me to do. I'm host year. I just feel like, you know, the youth are being led astray and they seek and they yearn for something greater. You know, here in America, we had the Asbury Revival last year where it was just college campus just completely erupted in worship. And you just see these young people, these Gen Z, they are yearning for a connection with God. But the connection with the world on their phone is a great distractor. So, you know, I get carried away. I talk too much. I apologize.
But... No, it's okay. It's beautiful, whatever you're saying. But I have a question here. You know, you are one with the experience of detransitioning circularly without Christ being the center of your detransitioning. And then you are also now a detransitioner with Christ in the center of all this. So my question to you is that, do you think it's possible for a transgender to detransition successfully without Jesus being in the picture? What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, I do know some detransitioners that are atheist or, you know, secular, and they seem like most of them have realized that they're just homosexual men. that have, you know, got led astray into the idea that they're a woman. They're going their own way. But for me, I know that I believe that if I tried to detransition without God, it would fail. I know a couple of my other friends, I won't mention names, that God has to be the focus of the detransition, because it even just like going back and looking at phone pictures of yourself from a few years ago, and you're like, oh, I was so happy. You're like, no, I wasn't. All of those feelings were there. I'm looking at a two-dimensional image that the enemy is manipulating to trick me into thinking that person had it all together. You know, when I know at that moment I was struggling just like I am now with gender identity. I don't, for me, it hasn't gone away. I feel like I do still struggle with, like, you know, God didn't make me to be this like super masculine guy. So I don't know how to like just, you know, like marry the two together. Like, can I be a man who's like, you know, effeminate or sensitive or creative? Like, of course, you know, it is that going to, is that going to be good or bad for my testimony to share with other people, you know? But I think a lot of people that detransition that don't have the rock to stand on will struggle. And I think that they will be more led to go back to it, because the trans ideology, it operates like a cult. It operates very much like a, you're one of us, you're come back to us, you know, like, and then so you're back, then you, it's so easy to fall back into that, that falsehood. That's what I think.